Hello.
And today I'm also with Ben Ebrill.
Hello.
Hello, Ebbers. How are you?
I'm good.
Feeling festive?
Always.
Good, because it is a week until Christmas, and we are debating today, are you missing out on a better Christmas? I'm going to let that linger. What do you think, Baz?
I think...
Do you have any questions? Anything need explaining?
No, it's pretty clear, mate. Thank you. I'm all my life been very happy with my Christmas. We have our traditions every year, and I couldn't imagine straying from them.
Okay, but let's talk us through them. What do you do on a Christmas day, and how many years in a row has it been like this?
Okay, so since I can remember, we would get up around about 6:30, 7-ish, because we just couldn't sleep any longer. Mm-hmm. We'd run downstairs into the living room, where there'd be two stockings hanging from the fireplace. So my brother and I would run up to those, and we would open Santa's gifts straight away.
Okay, Santa
wouldn't come into your bedroom?
No, it's creepy. That's just creepy. Also,
why are you making it creepy?
Inconvenient. You've got to want to get into the bed.
No, as a kid, the idea of a big, hairy...
Bearded man
coming into my bedroom. Billy, right, thanks. Go downstairs and just sit by... Work by the fireplace.
No.
So you go down there, there'd be obviously a few prints out and so on of like his footprints around. There might be a drunken glass of milk or or some liqueur. And then there'd be, two massive sacks.
How long ago was this?
So the last time I did that must have been about 2 years ago.
2 years ago, fine. Yeah. And then, so whose house is that at? Your parents?
Mum and dad's house.
Your mum and dad's house.
Okay. Yeah.
So we got Christmas mornings sorted. Yep. Ebbers, how does yours differ from that? Your Christmas morning?
When we were younger, much the same. I think, I don't know if we've had stockings more recently. But otherwise, I remember it always being the same. It would definitely be something for Rudolph and his...
A carrot.
Yeah, and a mince pie or something, and then a glass of something that was his favourite tipple of that particular year, and somehow it used to change every year, but somehow we obviously always got the memo.
Obviously. Santa's a way of letting us know.
Absolutely. It always lets it snow. And it was much the same. We would always be allowed to open the stockings. The point was a small stocking with a small few gifts that meant that big presents could wait until after the big Christmas lunch.
I've got a question.
Well, after lunch? You waited that long?
Yeah. That's where the stocking tied you over. And it would always have... You know, he was always very good at buying underwear.
Yeah,
underwear.
Santa, for many years, Santa bought all of my underwear.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know what? I'm with you there now. There's a period of time where I cared about underwear when I was single, when I used to, I bought my own. But since being married, Santa is really helpful.
He's really good.
Socks and pants.
I would say even before that. I mean, do you know what? Pajamas.
Yeah, slippers.
I stopped wearing pajamas when Father Christmas stopped bringing them for me.
Cheers, Santa. This is your fault then.
We've stayed from Ben's food. We're now just looking at our undergarments.
Yeah. Ben's poor neighbours trying to blame it on Santa. Can I ask a question? What's at the bottom of the stocking?
There was always something of citrus notes, or a clementine or a tangerine. It was always clementines, I think, at Christmas.
Baz?
With my brother and I would always have this the same gifts, just very, very slightly different. Mm. At the bottom, you'd always get to like a box of celebrations.
So you'd have like reading level 12, and Josh would have like
even though he's 5 years younger, he'd be reading the dictionary. Yeah. I'd be reading I'm a caterpillar. At the bottom it would be like a celebrations, some like loads of sweets.
Okay.
Outrageous amounts of sweets.
But no citrus.
No.
Tradition.
Is that, sorry, did I miss out?
I think it is a tradition. Yeah.
But it would always be double whammy on the citrus, because we would also get one of Terry's.
Ah, nice.
Oh, as well as the fresh fruit. The fresh fruit would be like there. So it's fresh, fresh clementines. And they're already wrapped. They've got peel. So you don't have to like wrap them. They're already wrapped. They come in their own wrapping.
I don't know why, but I could look it up because I've got a laptop in front of me, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, right. So we've done Christmas morning. Then what? So you mentioned Christmas dinner.
Then it's like there's always like carols on the TV or the radio or something. So it's festive music, and it might be carols, or it might just be Christmas songs. And that would just tide you over the whole morning. Oh, we'd have brunch. We'd have like a late breakfast.
Okay, so what would you have for brunch?
Christmas breakfast would always be something a bit special, because lunch is going to be late. would probably involve some sort of smoked salmon and scrambled egg, or it might be a full fry up. But generally speaking, we know there's plenty of the meats to come. Yes. So it tends to be eggs, grilled tomatoes, mushrooms, maybe some smoked salmon.
Yeah.
And there's no shame in popping a cork for breakfast.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, Bucks Fizz.
Bucks Fizz. Yeah, I was going to say the same.
As a kid, it was Bucks Fizz. Now I just enjoy orange juice and champagne or Prosecco. But
mimosa,
don't
I actually think I prefer Christmas breakfast thing to Christmas dinner.
Really?
Because we do the same thing.
Do you have a fry-up?
It's a fry-up, but then you, like, with smoked salmon, why not? Like, you keep...
It goes out the window, doesn't it? It's what Ferrero Rocher's.
Yeah. What eggs do you want? All three, please. All three types. We should make everything. It's too much. And then again, also, we've got so many pigs in blankets. You may as well put some on the breakfast plate as well.
Wow.
So we go all out for that. And then we finish that, and then we go, because we can't wait any longer, and we're just, presents straight after breakfast.
Do you ever feel like you peak too soon, though? You do presents and you're like, oh, Christmas is over.
No, because then later on, the guests come over and they bring more presents.
Right, okay. Guests. Who's arriving?
Well, growing up, it'll be aunties and uncles, cousins, and so on. Again, the gifts wouldn't be quite as impressive as mum and dad's.
Oh, you are such
But at the same time,
you are
it'll keep me going.
Oh, my goodness. You are unbelievable.
This is how I was as a kid. I was
grateful.
You knew growing up.
Spoiled.
I was a spoiled little brat, and I'm happy to admit it.
Rather, you will admit it. I wouldn't be happy to do that.
So there'd be, and then like nowadays, it's a little bit different, I guess.
Mm.
Because we're kind of transitioning, I guess, Christmases.
Yeah. Why? Because you've got an addition.
Yeah. Like, so now I'm a dad.
You're the family.
And at some point,
you're the spoiler,
time,
no longer
like my
the spoilee.
My house isn't big enough to host yet. Can't imagine hosting anyone else but my parents. But then I've also got my wife's parents that need to. It's all at the moment. We're spreading ourselves thin, and there will be a point in the next couple of years that it might have to come towards me. But I don't know yet. So systems are changing.
So has it always been at your parents? Have you ever done it at your wife's house with her parents?
One year.
Okay. Talk us through that.
Oh, no. It was lovely. It just wasn't my Christmas.
This is what I want to get to. Okay.
And Hayley would say the same, really. Like, coming to my parents, she's like, it's lovely. Like, my parents is more, that we have more kids in our family. So therefore, and there's more people, more of us. Therefore, it's a bit more, I don't know, there's more activities going. We play games, we drink a bit more and so on. At her house, Hayley's got a really small family. It's just her mum and dad and nan.
Yeah.
And that's it. So therefore, it's a lot more low-key. Okay. They tell you what they do. This is weird. And it threw me up. But they basically get up early, have a breakfast, then they go to the beach and watch the Santa swim.
Mm.
That's
so
cool.
In Lyme Regis, there's a, around the corner from Lyme Regis, all these Santas go swimming for the lifeboats and raise money for the lifeboats. Everyone goes down on the beach. The beach is covered in snow sometimes. There's bits of ice. It's just a weird environment. Everyone's there, freezing their arse off, but it's a Christmas tradition in Lyme Regis. They watch that happen, you come back then, and then you open presents, and then you go on to Christmas dinner and so on.
So when
her Christmas dinner is
when you first experienced that, was that positive? Were you like, this is cool, this is different?
No, this is a nice one-off.
Yeah? He's already thinking it was a one-off. Okay, interesting. Ebbers, you have Christmas at your parents' every year?
Yeah, I think so, except for the 5 years where I wasn't there.
Because for many a year,
I would join in the traditions of other people's Christmases because I was working as a chef in a private establishment. So for 5 out of 6 years, I wasn't at home, and therefore we had the family Christmas, but like on the 27th, we just delayed it. Whereas now we're back to having family Christmas at my parents, and it doesn't matter what age you are. I feel like right now that will always be the case.
So you were at uni when you had the that private chefing job,
yes,
for 5 years back to back with a famous person that we won't mention.
I'm sure I've mentioned it a couple of times before, but anyway, yes, I would go away for Christmas, and in the run-up to Christmas canapé and drinks party on the 23rd or 22nd of December with lots of friends and family and work sort of colleagues and peers and stuff, and then more of a traditional family-led Christmas for Christmas Eve with Midnight Mass, where we'd put on quite a feast for like the local village, and they would do carols at Midnight Mass in the local church.
Mm.
And it was always phenomenal, very, very traditional. you're right, it was somebody else's tradition. Yeah. It was that family's tradition that I was a part of and responsible for delivering.
Yeah. Pressure, right? Did you feel the pressure?
I think there was always a bit more of time pressure because you are being paid to be there and to deliver something. Whereas I think at Christmas, everyone's chipping in and, you know, if it's running a bit late, then just open another bottle of something and we'll pass the time with chit-chat and a few more Pringles, right? Whereas...
Pringles.
Sure.
How did you go? Why did he ask you back?
Not Pringles. Whereas I think there, you know, when they ask for, we'd like lunch at 2, you need to be ready at 2 minutes to 2,
yeah,
ready to ring the gong and open the doors and the family come through. That's
yeah,
kind of how it is.
Yeah.
Different world, but somebody else's tradition. I love being a part of somebody else's tradition.
Yeah.
Okay. So you did that back to back for five or six years.
Five out of six
Were
years.
Were there traditions that you ended up adhering to that you'd made with yourself and the team that you were meeting up with every year within the traditions of someone else? So did you ever get into the point of, oh, well, it's the Eve, it's Christmas Eve. The staff always get together and do this. Or we make sausage sandwiches on Boxing Day when we have, you know, half an hour off. Were there any things that you sort of, did you create your own Christmas traditions despite being there?
And you get to know, even behind the scenes, the different people working there, what they do and don't like. Not everyone likes Christmas pudding. Not everyone likes mince pies. I mean, we would make hundreds of mince pies and they were all handmade. So pastry and mincemeat filling.
Suet.
And yeah, you used to have all the suet through it and proper short crust,
wow,
sweet crust. Because we would send them off on with hampers when they went off on the shoot on Boxing Day. And all that kind of stuff. So we would.
It's so British.
Sounds like it's.
We would make sure that the vodka was, you know, in the freezer, so it was frozen, because they would send that off.
Did you look at Downton Abbey for a while?
Pretty much.
It was very much on par with that. And the same thing, we would. I hope this is too much, but you sort of go, actually, certain things and ingredients at Christmas, like walnuts, are a particularly sort of Christmassy thing in their shell, but you just have to go and get them from the dovecot, which was basically the building where they used to keep all the doves, because that was the perfect place to store the apples, the potatoes that had come off the estate, the walnuts that were picked around September, October, that were still good for Christmas and were being kept for Christmas. And all of that, the fillet of beef that had come off the estate and the gamekeeper had been looking after and had been hanging himself for several days. That was Christmas Eve dinner, and you'd have to trim it all up. And like all of those things, you're absolutely right. It is a bit Downton. And it is just so traditional and therefore so lovely, because it's high quality food. Mm. You know where it's come from. You're preparing it for people who care. And I was given the opportunity to do that.
That's amazing.
And paid for the privilege. Yeah. But you're absolutely right. Getting to know what different people like at different times, you know that once Christmas dinner's gone out and come back in, mush up a few mince pies into some ice cream with some brandy butter.
Oh, no,
that is like the dessert a couple of us always used to look forward to, because we knew we'd made the mince pies. They're still warm.
Mm. You're like,
and you kind of almost like make mince pie ice cream out of the leftovers.
Many. Oh, dear, we've made too many again. When I've got a question. When you told your parents that that's what you were going to do, how did they react? And he said, Mum, I won't be round for Christmas this year because I'm going to.
They were always very supportive. And I don't know whether behind the scenes they were thinking, well, that's spoiled Christmas. But we postponed Christmas. So it would happen on the 27th and we do all the same.
But your brothers loved you.
The same Ebril. They just got 3 days of Christmas. We got the same Ebril traditions just a bit later. Or rather, we saved present openings a little bit later so we could all do it together. They were always very supportive and I think they understood. And this was at university when actually. To be frank about it, yes, it was a great opportunity and
needed the money,
CV and a career booster, but being paid a daily rate to work 5 days back to back over Christmas was very, very useful.
Two of the most enjoyable Christmases I've ever had were when we took our Christmas. Let's say it's like there's what, 5, 6, 7 of us in the family who come together regularly. We took our traditions on holiday. So we did it like we had two Christmases when we weren't at home, but it was quite interesting taking it to see other people and merging cultures. Mm-hmm. I've done one in a ski resort, which was spectacular. Skiing on Christmas Day was just as stand up, brilliant. And then done other ones in, I think we went to the Caribbean when I was a kid. And again, trying to merge those two worlds. Weirdly, we did the exact same routine.
But just with different weather.
Different weather, different people.
Yeah, different environment.
And like the gifts would change, the food would change, but we stuck to the same the same routine.
Yeah, the same format.
Like it, yeah. They didn't feel like two from home, which is nice.
Because yours is always different as well, Mike, isn't it? Because you don't actually do Christmas Day on Christmas Day.
I've got a weird one, yeah. Yeah, through sort of just the situation, maybe about 10 years ago, we weren't able to do a Christmas dinner on a Christmas Day. So we had it at a pub with myself, my family, and then a load of like friends, like my parents' friends and some of my friends and stuff, and just had 25 people at a pub having Christmas dinner on the 23rd or 24th, and we do it all then. And then on Christmas Day, it's all cold cuts, all of the stuff that you guys probably have for Boxing Day, we have on Christmas Day, which honestly, when I first talk about traditions, when I first heard that that's what we were going to do, I mean, we didn't really have any choice, but in my head, I was like, ugh, Christmas is ruined. This is going to be terrible. And honestly, we haven't looked back. We don't need to do it anymore, but we do it every single year. And it's brilliant because it just takes the stress out of, you know, no matter how many people try and team up and help, too many cooks do spoil the broth on Christmas Day. And it always ends up on one person's plate to deliver a meal. And, you know, for us, we were just like, well, why not? We'll get a restaurant or a pub to do that 2 days before or a day before. And then it takes the stress off. And then it just keeps the day so chilled out because there's, I mean, you don't get that big crescendo up to, oh yeah, Christmas dinner, and then everyone sits down and it's massive. There's no big event. But it just almost feels like the day lasts a little bit longer because it's just so chilled from beginning to end.
What happens now with, now you're getting, wait a minute.
No.
Are you married?
I am.
You're married. Congratulations.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, we're giving away this is being recorded. But so you're like, now you're a married man.
Yeah.
How's that going to change things, do you think?
This is going to be the first year I've ever, never spent with my family on Christmas Day.
Wow.
So yeah, we're going to Kirsty's mum and dad's and we're doing Christmas dinner.
You're cooking.
Yeah. You'll love it. You'll love it. Okay. If you can prepare in your mind and get everything laid out in like, get yourself a Gantt chart, then you know that you don't have to worry about it and you just drink along. Let me give you a Gantt chart.
Sort out, Ebbers. Okay. Can you give me a program?
That's bold. So again, why are you cooking? Is that part of their decision?
They do a Christmas dinner. Mm. But again, there's been, you know, a few people who it always falls on their lap, and
they've got sorted foods. Michael Hearthstone.
That's the problem, though.
Family.
That's the problem. I'm going to send them a Pass It On playlist before, so that their expectations are fully. I'll send them the shoe pastry episode, yeah. And they'll just be like, "No, it's okay. We'll do it. We'll order it in." But going back to the title and where the debate starts, it's clear that we all have our own traditions. For me, traditions, almost of whether they're good or bad, make me feel like it's Christmas. Do you know what I mean? Like that nostalgia that we always do this. And there are a certain amount of things that I think we always do this. And if you asked me if you told me you were going to take some of those things away, I'd think, no, it won't be Christmassy.
Even down to the stupid jokes that only your family will get, or the same things that every year you crack the same joke, but everyone expects it to be cracked because that makes it Christmas.
Yeah.
Sorry,
so I was going to say that actually, if you said to the majority of people, do you want to keep your Christmases the same? I think the majority of them go, yeah, it ain't broke. Doesn't need fixing. But in looking at it like that, are there different traditions from other people, from friends that we know, from other cultures who do a really amazing stuff at Christmas that actually we're missing out on by, you know, almost being very insular with the, this is my Christmas, I like it like this. So we're going to just dig into a few of those. And that's why I was asking you guys so much about your Christmas Day routine, because like you say, you do it every single year. And if you start to mess about with that, does that stop being Christmassy? Does it stop you thinking,
weirdly, we're all in our 30s, at a good age where we can start to invent our own Christmases.
Yeah.
So like, I think we had a chat in a kind of podcast back about hosting events.
Yeah.
Whereas the idea of hosting for me is terrifying purely because it's a one-off and there's so much prep behind it. But if I did them regularly, I would know the routines, I would know what to do, I'd enjoy them all. And that's like, for my family, we don't change our Christmas purely because we want to make Christmas as easy and as laid back as possible for the person hosting. You throw in a few new ideas and suddenly it's all over the place. So I think that's kind of why
really
people don't move on. But like I see now, I'm desperate to work out what my Christmas is going to be.
What your traditions are going to be.
For my kids. And there's bits that I want to take from my mum, but not all of it. Because that was my past.
Nice.
A weird one. I'm now looking after Austin and what we do for that. So it's I feel like I'm at the point now I could have next couple of years, fill my boots with different Christmases to get new ideas.
Yeah. Start experimenting, testing. Yeah. Nice. Okay, well, let's talk about the big one then. Christmas dinner. Who has what? And does it change year on year? Ebbers.
No. Always the same. Well,
always the same.
Pretty much. I mean, I'm saying like sides might change, but it's always turkey.
Yep.
And a good honey and mustard roast ham. So it's turkey and ham on Christmas Day.
Both.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mostly because my dad doesn't like turkey. Never has.
Really?
My dad will do and has done forever and ever 90% of the cooking on Christmas Day. He doesn't like turkey.
But
and
he
it's just kind
like...
of, and it's always the running joke. Like he has to do turkey. For the family, for tradition, despite the fact that none of us really, and we don't, a family our size with a whole joint of ham as well, we don't need a turkey.
No.
Big chicken would be all right. And actually, arguably better.
Ooh.
But we're kind of stuck in this tradition that is what Christmas, and you're guilted into, is it really Christmas if you haven't got the bowl of nuts on the table and in shells, if you haven't gone out of your way to do a few things that just sort of,
keep it ticking along. It reminds you, isn't it? Is it nostalgia?
I think it's nostalgia, but surrounded by... My Christmas dinner is based around... It's now massive. But it's because whenever we've had somebody new join us for Christmas, they bring something new.
Okay.
And then it gets left on the plate.
Give us an example.
My nan's sister, Dor, used to always bring round bread sauce. Before Dor came to our Christmas, we never had bread sauce. Now
that's your favourite, isn't it?
It's my favourite thing on the plate. But now Dawes' bread sauce is always there. She doesn't come to our Christmas anymore, but she's almost just left that with us.
That's amazing.
And
I
it'll live
that.
On forevermore. So it's Dawes' bread sauce and bread sauce. And then it's like we have the same for stuffing.
Yeah.
My nan's brother-in-law Bob used to bring
Bob stuffing.
Bob stuffing. Like, so therefore we've got lots of like the whole plate is being brought together by members of the family who've joined us for Christmases.
That is amazing.
My nan's friend Gwen, she joined us for
your
Christmas.
Your nan's got
she was,
so many friends.
He's all my nan's
she is the nicest
not
person
friends.
I've ever met.
That's the difference.
She is the nicest person I've ever met.
So Gwen, who's now passed away, she made it like an amazing her own cranberry sauce. So, again, we always have these plates in homage to the people who've joined us for Christmas. Okay. So our plates now are just ridiculous mounds. But it's almost, I can't get rid of those things now because they've been passed down to us. Some more curveballs would be interesting.
Yeah, certainly. Well, let's play a game first. Oh, I'm going to see...
Christmas, yes.
Christmas
love a game.
Christmas game.
I want to see if you can... A supermarket in the UK a couple of years ago did a survey of 2,000 people to see what were the favourite parts of a Christmas dinner.
This was like Family Fortunes.
Yeah, our survey said. And I'm going to see if you can guess. I've got 10. Well, I've got 20, okay. But let's see if you can guess the top 10. Because I think it's actually quite surprising.
I reckon there's a couple on there that shouldn't be on there. Okay.
Yeah,
already.
We're already there.
Are we probably playing a game?
Yeah, so, I want you to see most popular. What's
turkey's
the most...
obviously going to be up there.
So, what are we going, number one?
Number
in first place, I want you to...
number one turkey.
It's roast potatoes.
Okay, I mean, yeah, they have to be there.
UK's favourite. Ebba's got a roast potato recipe that... Is it the sorted one?
Well, it is, yeah.
Rosemary,
I don't
sea
mind
salt.
A little rosemary polenta on it.
Lovely.
Going on. However, I would also say that because you're forced into turkey for Christmas, the roast potatoes aren't as good because you don't have all the wonderful pork fat or beef fat that's come off the joint of roast pork or roast beef, and therefore...
Slather them in goose
fat. You can buy additional fat on the side, but that's just kind of... You can, and we often do. But the whole point of like using the fat off the roasting joint to make your roast potatoes, that's the kind of nice cyclical make it all work.
Mm. Okay.
So there you are with roast turkey and not so good roast potatoes. You have to source your fat from elsewhere.
Agree, Baz?
Yeah, sure.
Roast potatoes, number one slot. Happy with that?
Yeah, I don't know why they're not my favourite. like.
Okay, I now realize what the game is. It's not. Yeah. It's a different. Just think about who they've asked. Okay, was it a Northern survey?
No, it's Asda.
Brussels sprouts.
Yeah. Okay. So you're going Brussels? Brussels for top five?
They're
going
to be in the number Brussels four probably.
Five. They have not made the top five, I'm afraid.
Oh, right.
The research is wrong.
Okay. This isn't my guess. My favorite thing on the plate is always parsnips. I love my parsnips.
I love the parsnips. Honey
roasted parsnips.
I'm with you.
They're the
coming in strong also, number seven. Parsnips.
Seven. Okay. I'd say
Brussels sprouts. Surely, eight, by the way.
Pigs in blankets have to be the top five.
Number six.
Oh. Just behind stuffing, I should imagine, at number five.
Oh, yeah, he's got stuffing at number five. So we've got number one and number five.
Blimey, okay.
Where was the turkey?
Turkey's three. Okay. What's two? It's a ridiculous...
Gravy?
Turkey's four. Gravy's four.
Are we just talking the main course, or do like mince pies and Christmas pudding come into it?
No, it's the main course. It's...
So
terrible.
Ham?
Nope.
Braised cabbage?
No, but you're on the right lines. It's a vegetable.
Oh. What?
Carrots.
Number two.
It's not important.
I mean, it's important to have a selection of vegetables.
No.
And it's important that those selection of vegetables give different colours, which is why I love braised red cabbage, which is why I like sprouts, which is why I like parsnips.
Yes.
They're all different colours and they make your plate sing of festivities. Mm. But I wouldn't put it at number two.
Well, you covered the whole of the top 10 except for
cranberry
Yorkshire
sauce.
Pudding,
yeah,
number
yeah.
10.
Which, unless roast beef is up there...
Oh, shut up, Ebbers.
Time and a place. Get rid of them.
Right. Open your mind.
Get rid of them.
So you're anti-Yorkshires?
On a
Christmas dinner
plate.
Traditional, you're a traditionalist.
Traditional.
Yeah.
Boxing Day. So despite the fact we still have enough turkey and ham to feed an army, Christmas Day would be roast beef.
Okay.
A repeat of most of the other sides... and then you'd have the Yorkshire puddings and the gravy. But yeah, first day it's cranberry sauce, maybe mustard to go with your ham, and bread sauce is A-OK on turkey. And then the second day you have your horseradish, your Yorkshire pudding.
Mm. I have eggs Benny the next day on Bubble and Squeak.
Yeah, if you've got some sprouts left over. Trouble is...
Ham left over.
I mean, you've met my brothers. Between the three of us, there is no food left over. The sprouts get eaten. Along with everything else. It all gets eaten.
Stick in a sandwich.
We are eaters and feeders in our family.
So if someone took away your Christmas dinner,
yep.
Would it still feel like Christmas? Would you be willing to compromise? Would you be willing to give up your Christmas dinner in replacement for something else?
I'm not. I love Christmas dinner. I love, it's the first time you sit down, you'll put your silly hats on, your puddy crackers and so on. Like that as a routine is lovely.
So is it almost more about the event than it is the physical food that you're eating?
Yeah, the bit I always find, I love each individual item on the plate. The issue is, once they're all on the plate, it all tastes the same. And we have this chat nearly every year, the family go, you worked so bloody hard on that meal. Like I remember when after...
And it's all doused in gravy,
yeah,
and it's delicious.
Yeah, since doing Sorted, I'll turn up and go, you know what, Mum? Give me the sprouts. Give me the Brussels. They'll be the best. I've got a polenta little tip I can do to my potatoes.
No one notices.
Everyone goes, tastes like Christmas dinner. You're like, well, yeah, I suppose it does. Because it all goes a bit mushy and tastes the same. It's all covered in bread sauce. So,
but if it didn't taste like Christmas dinner, would it still do the same job?
A little bit. I would be happy taking it out and having a bowl of pasta. Like, I'd be okay.
Interesting.
So I think we are... all very stubborn when it comes to Christmas and tradition, which I find really bizarre because as a nation, we are very open to multicultural, like huge, some of our national dishes, inverted commas, are foods that we've probably given our Western twist on, but they're global cuisines that we do so well for the whole rest of the year. 51 weeks of the year.
Because experts have come over here and shown us.
51 weeks of the year, we love to celebrate global food, and yet we're very stubborn when it comes to Christmas tradition. At home, I don't know if you could ever change the meal that we cook on the 25th of December or whatever day it gets shifted to that represents Christmas, depending on where the family are. What I've tried to do is shoehorn in some differences on Christmas Eve, which is still the family are all together and we celebrate. I remember the year we did the lobster and Prosecco mac and cheese.
Yeah.
And I did that for the family. And it was like some nice festive flavours, but it's not Christmas, or we do a salmon Wellington and we'll serve it with salads and new potatoes on Christmas Eve. So I'll try and shoehorn in something a bit different, but still festive flavours around Christmas. And I think...
Still stick to the dinner, though, the traditional Christmas dinner.
For as long as you're
dinner.
At home with the family doing that thing, I think so. But I would be happy to break the mould and go festive flavours, but not Christmas dinner.
Nice.
I don't know if I could handle it. I'd be tempting.
Let me picture this, because this is what I'm considering this year, right?
Go on.
A wonderful homemade chicken stock that is just like chicken broth that just is feel good.
And he's going to throw ramen in it. We know what you're making.
No. And then instead of some spring cabbage or anything, saute some sprouts and put that as the base. And all of that becomes a broth on Brodo, which I had in Bologna, for some whopping great big homemade tortellini stuffed with venison, like mince, and some incredible Christmassy flavours of like mulled wine, venison, tortelloni or ravioli on a chicken stock with sprouts. And you've kind of got all the flavours of Christmas.
Spiced fruits and stuff like that.
But without overeating too much in one plate, and you can celebrate.
I don't know if I could do it on Christmas Day. Sounds delicious, but yeah.
But I think the thing is, this is why I'm in a dilemma now. Because again, I couldn't do that now with my mum and dad and in-laws and so on. Because
also tortellini for 12 is difficult.
Christmas. Yeah, true.
Homemade, yeah.
Christmas is, at the moment, it's. I still live my parents' Christmas, not my Christmas. It's the Christmas they designed for me and my family. Because they didn't have the same Christmas growing up as this. So now I'm like, well, could I create a festive bowl of pasta for Austin and the family?
Could you do an incredible lasagna which takes the stress out of the day, but it's made with...
I think it has to be when it's in my house. I think that's when the new rules come in. You can't impart... I think that's...
No,
when that day comes, I think I can create my own Christmas.
But you'd be personally willing to do that.
I'd be personally interested in creating something different. Because I think, again, because everyone has these stories when they come together about their Christmas plate. And yeah, why not? Why not mix it up a little bit?
Well, if you, for example, if your family were in Japan on Christmas Day, you...
Mike wants to move.
Along with 4 million other Japanese people will be eating KFC on Christmas Day in Japan, because that has become a tradition. And that, I mean, like the Japanese, there's like 2% or under 2% Christians in Japan, so the whole meaning and the celebration of Christmas is sort of not a thing over there. But they're now starting to celebrate the sort of family festivities and stuff like that from Western culture.
So they get
but
a bucket.
They get themselves a proper bucket full of actual KFC,
and like I remember reading similar. It was a proper advertising campaign by a KFC years ago, and they were just like, "It's Christmas, you need this." And everyone bought into it. Now every Christmas, there's more KFC sold on Christmas Day than any other day.
Yeah, good, right?
I don't know if it is, but it's
amazing. Yeah, I don't. Would I swap that for Christmas dinner then? No.
But Mike, what about we went?
Sorry, fried chicken. Sorry, Christmas dinner. So you got your cranberry sauce, you've got your Yorkshire puddings, you've got your Brussels sprouts. Add fried chicken to the mix. No?
No, because why would I want to make it 365 days of the year I'm eating fried chicken?
but Mike, we back in the summer, you and I went to... Oh, I've forgotten the name. Pork Alley?
Yes, that's another one.
Please give me context, I'm scared.
Sorry. The Pork Highway, why have you turned into an alley?
I don't know.
An alley?
I mean, I wouldn't have said it was highway, it was single track each way. Anyway, the Pork Highway... in Puerto Rico, and we had some of the best phenomenal crackling and suckling pig ever. And in Puerto Rico, suckling pig is Christmas Day.
That's, imagine that as well. I mean, I see the thing about big, like, meats, centerpiece meat dishes for Christmas dinner. So big ham, things like that. I get that, but I just don't know if I could move away from, if it wasn't at some point over the Christmas period, I didn't have a Christmas dinner. I don't know how I'd feel about that.
I'm the opposite. I feel like the one thing I could drop from Christmas is the meat.
Is the dinner?
No, oh, the meat. In terms of Christmas dinner, all the flavours of Christmas dinner come from everything else but the meat. The meat is always an anticlimax with turkey. Like, this last year was the first year I was preparing the turkey and going, this is a thoroughly horrible process to prep that turkey. It's disgusting. It's a beautiful, beautiful bird, but you're putting butter between the skin and the flesh. You're stuffing it. You're like, what am I? This is disgusting. And it's the first thing I go to Italy. I'm doing all this work and it's still going to be a bit dry and a bit rubbish. So,
and there's lots of things you can do to improve it. And I think if you get great turkey, it's cool. But I'm with you. Like, it's more about the other bits around it. Fish is the other big one. And
I remember loads of Scandinavian places.
When I worked in Ireland for a year and I was working Christmas Eve, I had Christmas Day off and I was working, they call it St. Stephen's Day on the 26th. So there wasn't time to come home for Christmas. That was the other Christmas I was away from family. And there was a big percentage of the kitchen team in the hotel were Polish. And they would all have carp, I think, which is not a fish I'm particularly fan of, actually. But that was like their super traditional with potatoes. Yeah. And we had that on Christmas Eve in the hotel.
Yeah, milk, eggs and meat tend to be off the menu in places like Poland over the course of the Christmas period. Yeah, I think from... It says here, over the nativity fast practiced by the Orthodox and Eastern Catholic churches. So as a bit of a tradition.
I had fish. I didn't know why.
But yeah, fish dishes include herring, carp or pike. But they basically have a traditional 12-dish Christmas Eve feast, which is, well, I mean, that just sounds amazing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely
and
amazing.
And that's where you can delegate and everyone can bring their own dish.
Yeah, yeah, obviously you've got wings, then you've got the boneless bucket. And then you've got your gravy.
Beans,
got all of that.
The one, my favorite,
mini fillet burger.
I completely forgot about it. My favourite dish on Christmas Day, which my mum actually makes from scratch, is a sorted recipe. I think it's a Big United episode we did it in. So there was like you make your own mayonnaise, dill, and then new potatoes. And then the
salad recipe.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then it's a whole salmon.
And tin foil with citrus on top and some fennel as a base, I think.
Yeah, I can't think which one was
We did it years and years back. We were still in the studio before this one, so it's at least 5 years ago.
I think we might have done that in the video that we had with Charlie and all of that lot.
Was that one of them? It's one of the first recipes my mum ever cooked off sorted. I think it's the last.
Yeah.
Every Christmas now, she does that, and it works perfectly. But yeah, I think that's...
I think salmon for... Christmas Day breakfast is a big thing. Mm-hmm. Smoked salmon in my household, but also we would often some sort of fish on Christmas Eve. And maybe it's because it's lighter and you don't like want to, it's a lighter approach because you know how heavy the next day is going to be. Mm-hmm. So you can tap into that. But there's no denying that we're all a bit stubborn with tradition. And maybe that's a good thing because that's what a tradition is, something that keeps going beyond generations. And maybe that's the point.
This is a really silly question, but what's Christmas tradition in America? Because I always get confused because obviously they...
Very similar to Thanksgiving. It's almost a repeat.
It's a repeat.
Although I think that some American Jews have Chinese food on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Which is quite cool. Loads of Chinese restaurants are open on Christmas Day in America, which is cool. But yeah, you've got duck, goose or rabbit in Germany. Eastern Europe is just fish, loads of variations of fish, and same with Scandinavia. In Portugal, codfish and boiled potatoes. We've done Japan, we've done Puerto Rico.
Where Italy?
I don't know. All I could find was panettone. well, they obviously eat more than that. But yeah, I was trying to.
I've got Italian at my wedding, my Christmas this year.
Have you?
Yeah. Brother's now engaged to an Italian.
You can find out.
Excellent.
Yeah, brilliant. She can cook.
Bring panettone at the very least.
So what about presents? If someone took away your presents, would it still be Christmas?
As an adult, it's not about presents.
But what about the giving of presents? Because if your presents are taken away, then you can't give the presents. And I love that.
I'm more about the giving. I'm more of a giver.
Yeah. Are you?
Than anything else. And I think we were talking about this in a previous episode about hosting.
He's a feeder and
he's a
giver.
I'm particularly keen on hosting because I think it is the act of giving. And sometimes, I mean, we do presents, but we've kind of gone to almost Secret Santa presents.
One
big present rather than lots of silly things. And often it's the silly things. It's the new board game you've brought, or not even board game, but game that you play and stuff like that. It's the it's the conversations
and
the games.
As adults, couldn't agree more. As kids, that's where I think, I don't know, there's just, I've got memories of like, I opened up the the most recent Megazord, the Power Ranger Megazord. And there's a little video of me as like a five-year-old kid losing my absolute shit over this thing. And like, you can only get that because I've been asking for it all years round, and it climaxes that moment.
Yeah.
You can only get it at Christmas time. And yeah. I think those are moments with kids and stuff. That's the bit I can't wait for, is buying gifts and getting them excited. Again, giving. And as kids, all you want to do is receive.
But now, so, like as adults, different. If you took away presents, full stop, so you weren't allowed to give them, I think we all agree that I'm not really fussed about receiving them, but I do love going and buying
picking
people
presents. Yeah.
But yeah. I love that bit, yeah. And I don't know whether I don't know whether you could take that away from me either. Turning out, I'm really stubborn.
But imagine, I think it's such a small part of Christmas relative to spending time with family and the food and drink at Christmas and those traditions.
Being all moral.
It's hard.
No, I think, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, but then maybe that's because it's always been a... It's always later in the day. It's like always. It's always after. Yeah. Like the food is the climax.
Main bit.
And then we do presents after.
We do that as well.
Yeah. But it's like, it's. I think it's... What's it called? Like, I don't think it's... a selfless act in the slightest, giving presents.
No, nothing is.
Because I find at the moment, I like you, I thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah, it's selfish.
Buying things is brilliant. One of my favourite pastimes. Buying from other people is just as fun. Because there's more jeopardy as well. You can really screw it up. And I think last year was the first year Hayley was like, we'll take it easy this year. We're not going to buy each other presents. I was like, oh.
We're getting each other a wedding this year, so we're doing the same thing. Yeah. So
and I found
a wedding. So
but I found you're getting a wedding out of this. Yeah. And if it's bad, it's on my half.
But I found actually last year a little bit, Christmas lost a little bit of a shine because we didn't buy each other presents. I don't care about what I get, but I like the act of sharing, and that bit is different, I think. So I think not receiving gifts, couldn't care less about. Not sharing gifts is what I miss.
Well, let's wrap it up there instead of unwrapping it. Good. Are you missing out on a better Christmas? Am I missing out on a better Christmas? If I had to answer that question, I would say possibly yes. Am I willing to find out? Possibly no. Baz?
I'm definitely missing out. And only just am I willing to actually dive in. Just.
Ebbers?
I think my Christmases over the year have been so turbulent, so up and down, whether I'm at home or somebody else's Christmas or different cultures' Christmases, that I'm more than open to mixing it up. I feel like it might upset other people more than me.
One time, do you know, and I think this is what everyone has said at some point, has gone, do you know what would be really nice on Christmas Day? We just go to, you know, and help out at a soup kitchen, or, you know, do some work with the homeless or loneliness and stuff like that. Everyone says that. No one ever does it. So maybe that could be something that we, I don't know, look at doing in the next couple of years. I'd actually genuinely like to do that. Again, everything that any human being does has a degree of selfishness attached to it, because it will feel good.
Yeah, but it'll give you the warm, fuzzy Christmas feeling.
That's
it. Hopefully it can fill people up with warm, fuzzy food too.
Exactly.
In the past, Santa's been quite generous to charities in the past. From when I opened a stocking up, and there's been a little thing about, I've adopted a monkey somewhere. And as a kid, I was like, brilliant, I own a monkey.
When do I get the monkey? Yeah. When did it turn up?
Turned up, mass disappointed. But that's always been a little touch.
Monkey sends you a postcard occasionally.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always been something that's occurred to me, and I've always thought, massive. Wouldn't that be nice? But will I have the guts to do it? Well, I'll need to step up to the plate and do it, won't I? But let us know, you guys listening and watching, what are the traditions that you have where you live? What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to experiment with? Get involved in the debate. Are you missing out on a better Christmas? At the end of the day, we read everything, so make sure that you get involved. You can get involved by going to the webpage www.sorted.club/S8E6. S8E6. And we will converse with you over your opinions. But for now, have a wonderful Christmas, however you decide to celebrate it. And we will catch you next week. Goodbye.
See you then.